I'm going to ask you to do something that I loathe any author to have to do, and that's to praise a story, but especially this story, because it's so horrendous. But can you give us a...
Yeah, sure. Dale grew up in Burundi in a farming family, cow herding, but farming too. It was by this local standards in these mountains, rural part of the country in the mountains, a fairly prosperous family, although he didn't have any shoes until high school. The very fact that he got to high school spoke of some, you know, privilege. If you think of privilege as simply a relative thing, I mean, it's odd to think of him as privileged. He worked his tail off, and he worked, labored for his father. These enormous hikes they used to take over these mountains, they're really quite something, those mountains. Anyway, he did really well. He was offered a scholarship to go to school in Belgium, to college in Belgium, but he chose to go to medical school in Burundi, and was in, I think he just about completed or had completed the third year. It's 7 years there, it's the European system. And he was working as an intern sort of in a large but fairly remote hospital when deep in the countryside when the civil war began because of the assassination of the first elected president. And there was a massacre at the hospital. In response to this, he escaped this narrowly. Actually, escaped because he left the door to his room open as when he hid under the bed, and the killers assumed that he had left. He made then a 6 months long escape on foot from Burundi, unfortunately for him, into Rwanda, where 6 months later the genocide began. Then had a few close calls there and escaped back to Burundi, got to the capital, and a friend who had a European father and was therefore quite wealthy, Amazungu, by local standards wealthy, got him both airline tickets to New York City, chose his destination, got him tickets, and helped him get a visa. So he arrived in New York with $200 in his pocket that his friend had given him, no English, no friends or relations. And memories, terrible memories. I mean, memories of horror, so, as I think I wrote, so fresh that he sometimes was confusing past and present. And he had a pretty unsteady beginning there. I mean, he only got past immigration, it seems to me, because of this baggage handler from Senegal, the guy named Mohammed, who took him home. But home for Mohammed, who was just in the States to earn money and go home, was an abandoned tenement in Harlem. Dale's first trip on a subway, he got lost for almost the entire day. He eked out a sort of living, delivering groceries. When Muhammad left, he left the abandoned tenements and slept in Central Park, which he found more salubrious. And then he was delivering groceries to an Upper East Side Catholic church, and an ex-contemplative nun was there. She, you know, one of those people who was there to help whoever comes by, and she helped him enormously. She, almost more than he wanted at times, but she decided she had to find a family for him, and she did. A childless couple, sociologist and a painter. And so they had a certain feel for Africa, and they'd been horrified, of course, by the Rwandan genocide. They were moved by Deo's story, as this nun told it to them. They hesitated, of course. Anybody would, I should think. You know, you're taking in someone who doesn't speak your language, has no visible means of support, and might become a burden on you for the rest of your lives, you know. And essentially they adopted him. I mean, it had its ups and downs, but they financed him. They financed his ESL course at Columbia, which was very rigorous, and then helped to finance his education at Columbia. But what's really more amazing to me is that after all of that, graduating from Columbia, going to work for Partners in Health, studying at the Harvard School of Public Health, getting into medical school, he decided to go home, and becoming an American citizen too, decided to go back to Burundi to try to do his part for the rebuilding of a country that had been ripped apart with 13 years of civil war. He was just through main force and by rallying all of these friends, he has enormous numbers of friends in America, and he created this clinic called Village Health Works, in a rural place. It's a public health system, really, and it's growing and flourishing. It's pretty terrific. very moving sort of thing. When I think about it philosophically or conceptually, I think, you know, here was a country ripped apart by what seemed like largely artificial differences between two groups of people, differences that were exaggerated for the benefit, by the few, for their own benefit, first of all, by the Belgians. And here is an antidote, or a potential antidote, or part of the beginning of an antidote that is, you know, based on something that unites us all, which is our common vulnerability to illness and injury and our common hope for life, you know. And it's seen 28,000 patients in its first year and a half. It's growing. It's attending to the right things. I mean, you know, clean water, sanitation, women's health, and the stupid illnesses that kill people, you know.
But it's come at the expense of him becoming, he's not Dr. Dale yet.
No, he's not Dr. Dale. He's back in training.
He could have just gone to medical school, said, I'm an American now, heck with you.
He's not done that. I don't think he could do that. I don't think he's built that way, and I don't think that would have been a solution for him.
The book is Strength in What Remains, A Journey of Remembrance and Forgiveness. I've been speaking with the Pulitzer Prize winner, Tracy Kidder, and Strength in What Remains, published by Random House.